Our sermon today is based on a reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge for the poor and decide with equity for the oppressed of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion will feed together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. On that day the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. Thank you, God, for all the promises you placed before our eyes and for keeping every one of them. So today we begin the season of Advent, the time of preparation for the coming of the Lord Jesus into our lives, into our hearts, and into our world. Our Advent theme for this year will be, "And Heaven and Nature Sing." That's why our sung response to our Advent candle lighting each week will be verses from the hymn, "Joy to the World." Because the premise of Advent this year is going to be the fact that Advent is not just for us, God's human creation. Advent encompasses a promise that the whole of creation, earth, sky, oceans, lakes, animals, all of it will benefit from the arrival of God's Savior. Indeed, it is wonderful to know that the gift of love and redemption and reconciliation is given to us, but it doesn't stop at us. It enfolds and embraces the rest of creation too, for all of God's creation longs for hope and joy and peace and love, all the promises of Advent. Romans 8:22 says, "Creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together as it suffers together the pains of labor. Birds and bees, seas and trees, horses and hippos, they wait right along with us for the redemption and the renewing of the earth. They moan and groan and lament and anticipate just as we do. The coming kingdom will welcome them in too. What Jesus does for nature, he does for us all. Psalm 98, which we heard earlier, is so beautiful and so full of promises. It makes you want to make a joyful noise to the Lord. It makes you want to shout, "Do it now, Lord, now. What are you waiting for? Show us your steadfast love and faithfulness. We want to listen to the voice of the sea and clap along as the hills clap their hands. It is indeed joy to the world that the Lord has come. And indeed, heaven and nature will sing. For if the Lord comes to judge the world with righteousness and to restore that which has been broken and abused, heaven and nature definitely will have a new song to sing. The advent of Christ will return the earth to the pure and pristine beauty it had in Eden, when the waters were pure and the sky was clear, when the trees grew lavishly and produced fruit abundantly, when animals and humans walked together, neither afraid of the other, and all creation listened for the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of the evening. Remember the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that got us, yes, not just Eve, but all of us, in such trouble. With the arrival of the Messiah, there will be a new tree of life, and the curse that was placed upon humankind will be reversed, and all things will be made new. The earth has suffered from humanity's sins of greed and overuse and disinterest for far too long. This is not what God intended for the pretty planet God so lovingly created. God wanted us to treat it reverently and gently, not to exploit it and almost destroy it. Try as we may, it's nearly impossible for us by ourselves to put the earth to rights again. This is why we need a Messiah, a Savior, a Restorer, a Redeemer, someone to heal all the wounds of all creation, someone to make all things new again, someone to make the earth just as it was meant to be. And not just the earth, but us too. God's great plan was for us to obey and serve and follow him with love and steadfastness and eagerness. Again, quoting Romans, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We needed an example, a model, someone to show us exactly how to do God's will. And that is why God sent us Jesus. He was endowed with the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear or respect of the Lord, a sincere desire to worship God properly and humbly and happily. The Messiah comes to give us all the things we need, and surely in the world today we need wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and righteous, equitable judgment more than ever. We just don't know how to do it. We need Jesus to show us the way because he is the way. I used to read this passage literally, and sometimes I still do, the part about the wolf lying down with the lamb and the calf and the lion feeding together. It appealed to me on a childlike level, the idea that all things will keep their forms, but their manner will be changed. The things that are wild and fierce will become tame and docile under the new reign of Christ. I look forward to hugging a bear and patting a tiger. But recently, I got a different perspective on these words, a perspective I still have to flesh out, but it's still intriguing to think about. Perhaps it's not talking about a literal wolf and a literal lamb literally lying down together, although that's a lovely idea in itself. But maybe it's talking about people with different ideologies, national, political, ethical, finally putting their differences aside, finally getting along, finally realizing we are one creation being nurtured and sustained by one great God. Isn't that what we need these days as well? For all the divisions and dissensions that rock us to just disappear, for healing to happen, for all of us to acknowledge that, yes, we are different creatures and that's what God intended, but we can still be united and we can still grow together like the sprout coming from that stump. We can branch out together and spread our leaves over one another. All the things we so desperately need in our world right now, environmental healing, racial healing, truth and justice for all, this is what Christ will bring. No one will hurt the mountains or the trees or the desert or the ocean. We will finally see how interconnected we are. That if a tree falls in a forest and no one hears it, it still affects our being and our present and our future. God sees that tree. Why don't we? When the earth is full once again with the knowledge of the Lord, we will see the potential in a seemingly lifeless, useless stump. And when we get to that point of security and stability, of regeneration and rejuvenation, surely heaven and nature will sing out loud and strong, and we will join in. It all starts with a sprig, with a shoot, a branch growing out of a seemingly lifeless stump. This week, someone from the village is coming out to inspect our property, and we're probably going to have to cut down some of the trees because they're dead, useless, worthless. Most of the time when you chop a tree right down to its stump, the next thing is to get one of those stump grinders and grind the stump up and get it out of the way, because what's the use of a stump? It can't grow anymore. It's just an eyesore, taking up space where something else could probably be planted and could grow. So get rid of the stump, except this one, this stump of Jesse. Its time was not over yet. There was yet hope hovering over it, even though it looked as though it was done. Job said it, for there is hope for a tree, if it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its shoots will not cease. The message from the prophet Isaiah, although we correctly claim it as a message, as a prophecy of the coming Messiah, it was originally a message of solace for a devastated, deprived Israel. The kingdom planted by David, Jesse's son, had come to a horrific end, relegated to exile and disgrace, and all that was left was a remnant, a stump, the last vestige of the house David had built, only a memory. Who would ever have believed that the house of Jesse would one day be restored to its former glory? Who would ever have believed there was yet a chance for that once majestic, strong stump, now reduced to nearly nothing, a shade of its former self? Who would ever believed it could once again become a tall and stately tree, firm and flourishing, a place for all to gather with glee? Of course, through human eyes and with human thinking, it was done for and there was no saving it. Might as well grind it down and go on about your business. But God knew there was still something left in it, something worth redeeming in that stump. It just needed a holy healing hand to get it growing again. With God's help, the stump would sprout again, and its shoots would grow and grow and grow, reaching out far and wide, unstoppable. The prophet proclaims it, on that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples, a sign that God was not done with that stump. It's a great lesson for us. When you feel like a stump or a bump on a log, God can come to you and renew you. When you're cut down or ground out, remember, with God and through Christ, you can still grow. God was not done with that stump, and God is not done with you. And that's what Advent is all about. Let us pray. We see it, Lord God. We see the advent of Jesus Christ into our lives as a clear call to be better stewards, better caretakers of all your creation. We are called to protect and serve and defend and restore in the Spirit and with the power of Christ. We await the time of redemption and healing that you have promised to send not just to us, but to all the world. Thank you for the Savior who will make all our dreams of a clean and perfect world come true. Amen.
Did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? The child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy walked where angels trod? When you kissed your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of our Lord. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nation? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is the great all.